folks, not to keep you too quickly, but just to get to the point, we're thinking about a little tweet from the Apostle Peter, just up on that huge mountain we climbed earlier on. I want to just think, just for a few brief moments. I don't know if you've ever read Rudyard Kipling. Rudyard Kipling very famously at one stage said, "I keep six honest serving men. They taught me all I know. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who." Okay. "I keep six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who." You're thinking, "Gordy, have you lost your mind? What are you talking about?" Take a look with me at another tweet from Peter. "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. And by his wounds, you, me, have been healed." Let's apply Rudyard Kipling's principle to this. Who? He himself. Jesus. Jesus bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sin, live for righteousness, and by his wounds on the cross, we find healing and redemption. Who is the who that we're thinking of? Jesus. John 1:14 says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only." Paul writes in Colossians 1:15 and in 19, "He is the image," Jesus is the image "of the invisible God. God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Jesus." He himself, Jesus, the divine Son of God, creator in eternity, gave himself on the cross that we might have life. I used to think what I'm going to just read to you in a moment was a lyric of a song by one of my famous and hero guitar players, Phil Keaggy. It's actually from a very famous poem that he has taken. But I've never forgot this from hearing it. His holy fingers, who? Jesus. His holy fingers made the bow that grew the thorns that pierced his brow. And the nails that pierced his hands were mined in secret places that he designed. You see, he, Jesus, made the forest from where there sprung the tree on which his body hung. And he died upon a cross of wood. Yet he made the hill on which it stood. In those two little words, he himself, there is so much meaning of who gave himself. Well, what did he do? He bore our sins. We can't even begin to fathom this, folks. This Easter morning, we cannot begin to fathom a picture of sacrifice and substitution for sin. As Jesus willingly gave himself on the cross, John the Baptist says in John 1:29, as Jesus came walking towards the River Jordan, "Look, here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He himself bore our sins. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us." Who? What? Where? He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. And again, the book of Leviticus tells us that cursed is anyone who is hung on a tree. Jesus became a curse for us, folks. Isaiah 53, verse 5, "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and by his wounds we are healed." As Jesus surrendered himself to a Roman cross, he did it willingly out of love for you and I, for mankind, for rescuing and redeeming us, the sin of the world. Who, what, where? Well, why? So that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. So that we might die to our sinfulness and live unto him. Mark writes in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, the Son of Man gave his life as a ransom for many. That he took our suffering so that we might die to sins and live in a hope. There's a beautiful passage, don't have time to jump into it, in Corinthians, early Corinthians, and it says that some of you used to live like this in all sorts of depravity, but you've been rescued, you've been redeemed, you've been washed, you've been made clean. Why did Jesus come and die? What is the why? So that we might die to our sinful life and live in righteousness before God. How? It is by his wounds that we have been healed. A picture again of sacrifice and of substitution for our sin. As we read away back in Isaiah 53, verse 4 through to verse 7 and then verse 12. Surely he took up our infirmities, carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. For we all, like sheep, have gone astray, and each one has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is silent, he did not open his mouth. In the second half of verse 12 we read, he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. By his wounds, that sinless, silent, suffering Son of God gave his life in our place, that ransom for many. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And he chose the cross. He walked willingly towards this suffering. Everybody's looking very serious. This is a happy day, because death was not the end, but was only the beginning. But as we run through our six faithful servants, when is missing? And I suppose the question is, for you and I this Easter morning, what is our response to he himself who bore our sins and his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness? Because by his wounds we're healed. Well, when have we responded to that? Have we responded to that? In the Easter story, in the Passion narrative, Pilate says, well, what shall I do then with the one called Christ? And I suppose that's our question this morning. That's our response. And as we follow on, actually, in this passage in Peter, the very next verse tells us that, well, all of us at one time were like sheep going astray. But now we have returned to the shepherd, the one who is the overseer of our souls. And as we respond, thinking of those words, how do we respond? Are we in rebellion like the sheep going astray? Or for the when for us, is it because we've returned to the one who is the shepherd, the good shepherd who has laid down his life for the sheep, the one actually who is the overseer of our soul, the one who wants to renew our soul, who wants to lead us in paths of righteousness as our good shepherd. So this Easter morning, folks, what is our response? Has it happened? When did it happen? When is it going to happen? And maybe you found yourself gathered in church this morning and you normally don't do church. How do we respond to this glorious message that, well, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness? That's what the cross and the empty tomb is all about. As we respond from our rebellion, we return to him and find restoration. How do we respond today? We want to rejoice at what he's done, giving him all the glory and the honor, thanking him for our great salvation. How do we respond this day as we think about this glorious message and the glorious resurrection of our Lord?